Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Top of the morning to you. Welcome in. the voice. It's going, Tommy. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. I promise. Dar, get on the mic. Did I have any voice issues the entire time before the show? I'm healthy. I was doing fine.
No, JP just got in your head as he was walking out.
He did. He's like, are you sick? I said, no, I'm not sick. Why are you saying that? He goes, well, I'm just doing a bit from a couple weeks ago. And then I come on, I sound like death. But I'm here, and I'm healthy. Danny is not. He is out today, but that's okay because we got Kedrick Golston in studio. The former Washington Redskin is hanging out with me for the next 4 hours. What's up, Ked? Long time no see, buddy.
Nothing much, man. How you doing? Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and a happy holidays. Do not worry. You will not get sick. I'm fully healthy. I promise.
It doesn't matter, man. I don't get sick. And if I do, it's going to be close to death, so I ain't worried about it.
All right, good. I like that philosophy. It's a little different than the philosophy around these parts, generally, when everyone's blaming everyone when they've got a cold. But I'm doing all right, and Ked's doing well, and we got a big show planned for you today. I'm excited about this one. Brandon Kinstler, officially a Washington National again. They have re-signed their right-handed relief pitcher. He is going to be calling in and chatting with us at 11 o'clock. About coming back to Washington, which I'm excited about. That's coming up in about 57 minutes. A lot to get into on the Redskins Broncos front as well. But we wanted to start the show with our big announcement. So without further ado, here it is. You've heard throughout the morning via the Junkies that we were going to be telling you at the top of the show about an opportunity you're going to have to do something pretty cool. So here's our announcement. Kirk Cousins is going to join the Grant and Danny radio program for a special season recap and interview about his future in Washington exclusively on January 5th at noon for a live event at Jam and Java in Vienna. We're going to discuss and recap this entire season, his campaign, the behind the scenes of how everything's gone with the organization. We will talk about what went right. We will talk about what went wrong. A year in review with Kirk Cousins. Maybe more importantly, though, we will look ahead at an uncertain future in Washington and what is going to happen. Now, here's the coolest part. You guys are going to be able to ask him questions at Jammin' Java. Any questions you've got about his future, his time with the team, throughout the entire 2 hours with Cousins, the most long-form opportunity to discuss the future with the quarterback, you guys are going to have your say, your questions, your comments for Kirk. He's willing to listen and hear all of them, which is cool. So this is going to be an event where you've got to pay for tickets, but I want to let you know that every single penny that we raise through tickets being sold is going to benefit charity. Kirk wants to benefit the DC Dream Center, which tutors and mentors programs for youth and adults in Washington, D.C. So tickets are going to start at about $40. VIP tickets are going to go up to a little bit over $100. That VIP ticket is going to get you a picture with Kirk, an autograph from Kirk. Every VIP ticket will get a picture and an autograph. And again, every single penny raised. We're not raising money here for us or for Cousins. Nope. This is for charity for the DC Dream Center. So tickets are on sale as of right now. We are opening up the tickets at jamandjava.com. So go right now and buy your tickets. We'll have about 170 seats available. They'll go quickly. For this Q&A with Cousins. Pretty cool deal.
Man, that's great, man. That's, you know, Kurt's a top-notch guy. We all know that. But to be able to give back to the D.C. community and education for the youth and adults, man, that's really where it starts if you really want to improve somebody's situation.
I like that. He's using his platform. He knows a lot of people want to hear from him. He knows that a lot of people want to ask questions about his future, so why not turn that into an opportunity to raise a lot of cool money for charity? So good for Kirk Cousins. Going to be a fun thing for the Grant and Danny radio program. And again, make note, that's January 5th that we're going to be doing this. That is Friday, just after all the holidays in the rearview mirror. So go get yourself your tickets right now. It's going to be a pretty good Christmas gift for someone as well.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, especially last-minute shopping, and now you just know about this. Why not go out and get it? I mean, it's going to be a phenomenal interview. Obviously, you can ask him any questions you want to ask him, and he's going to answer them candidly, and that's really all you want.
You ready for the holiday, kid? Have you done all your shopping? You checked all the boxes? You riding around listening to your Christmas music, watching your holiday movies at night?
I'm watching the holiday movies. My daughter brought an Alexa. Is that what it's called?
Oh,
home.
Yeah.
So I can just say, Alexa, Soul Christmas playlist. You know, and it gives me,
is that,
you know,
what you go with, the Soul Christmas?
Oh, got to go with the Soul. Temptations and all that, Five Heartbeats, all that good stuff. But no, I haven't finished my shopping yet. My wife has picked up the slack in that department. So the kids are covered. I got to get a couple more things. But, you know, like every year, it's going to be last minute Tyson's Corner frenzy. And, you know, that's what it's all about.
So I have for years ended up on Christmas Eve going shopping. That's when I just do my best work. I'm under the gun.
Exactly.
I go store to store. The problem is, and my fiance gets mad at me about this, we went shopping a little bit last night, and I never know when I get to the mall, as an example, what I'm getting for anyone. And she thinks that's the dumbest thing. She goes, well, what are you going to buy? I have no idea. I'm going to walk around until I see something they'll like, and I'll purchase it. Whereas for her, you pre-plan everything out. You've got your checklist when you get there. Okay, I'm going to this store to pick out this item for this person. I like wandering around until I see something. Now, in my older days, going back a couple years ago, that also meant that if I saw Auntie Anne's pretzels, I could go eat one of those.
Exactly.
Maybe stop and get some ice cream, kind of make a day of it.
Well, so if she already knows what she's going to get, why didn't she just order it online? Why even waste the trip to the mall? So you're going out there shopping. If she already knows what she wants, just find it on Amazon and get it shipped to the house.
I have had that thought every year where I go, I'm going to do my online shopping this time around. And then it turns out that I say, I've got to order by this hit the wall date. And next thing you know, it's December 20th and I haven't done any shopping. So I'm like, if I order now, there's no chance all this stuff's going to get here.
My issue is when I go shopping, I always second guess myself. That like, does this person really want this, or will they like this? Or am I buying them something that is just wasting money and useless? And so that's where the struggle lies with me. So I'm a big gift card. You know what I mean? I get the American Express or the MasterCard gift card and give them a card, and hey, you go do with it what you want.
You're a gift card guy.
Gotta be. You know, well, it depends. We're talking about older age, especially adult giving and things like that. I mean,
you know what? It's funny. As I've gotten older, I've come around on gift cards. Because when I was a little bit younger, I always thought, I was like, it's not meaningful. They're not getting a present that they want. But now at this point in my life, I'd love a gift card, because then you just take it and you use it for whatever you actually need. Because presents at this point are more about function, right? Like, you want something that you're going to use or need. When you're a kid, you just want something to play with for a couple days.
Exactly. So kids, they want toys, right? You got to get them toys. They want to be able to go out and play. But I know from me having a teenage daughter, she doesn't want us to pick out her clothes. She wants the gift cards so she can go buy her own clothes with her girlfriends and make them all day out of it. And that's fine. You know what I mean? So it saves me the stress. I can go to your local grocery store right as I'm checking out after buying my produce. And get me some gift cards, and I'm out the door, easy peasy.
You're doing your shopping at, like, Giant or whatever. You're just like, okay, there's a restaurant, there's a movie gift card. You just knock it out in, like, 10 minutes at the grocery store.
Exactly.
That's funny. I like that about you. Kedrick Golston is with us on Grant and Danny. He'll be hanging out throughout the show. I want to get into, off the top, the Seattle Seahawks getting fined $100,000 yesterday. And they got fined $100,000 for not properly using the concussion protocol on the sidelines. This is a story that I think is going to send major ripple effects through the entire NFL, because Seattle is saying they did nothing wrong. And I want to know what you guys think about this. We can open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines, but here's your backstory. They're fined $100,000 for a hit that Russell Wilson took back on November 9th. If you remember watching the game, he took a helmet basically to the face mask and to the jaw area. He got jolted good. He got up and immediately was sent off the field by the head referee that night. They have the ability on the field, if they see a shot or they hear helmet to helmet or they look into the eyes of a player and he looks dazed, to have him go to the sideline for what is mandatory testing for a concussion. And you're immediately placed into that protocol where now, I don't even know if they had it when you played, as recently as two seasons ago. But this year, they have this tent that they pull over everyone.
Tent's new. I never got the opportunity to go in the tent. But the tent has been a good thing because I can remember years ago when Robert dislocated his ankle in Jacksonville, there were so many people videotaping the guy on the table when he's trying to figure out what's going on with his ankle. And I just thought, let's give the guys a little bit more privacy than that. So the tent's a good thing.
So you like the tent?
I like the tent.
Okay, so you go into this little tent and they pull it over you. Do guys use the tent to go to the bathroom too?
No, well, I don't, maybe. I mean, sometimes guys will just take a knee and take a towel and just take it from knee to knee.
Really?
And just pee right on themselves. I know players that have done that before.
Still today, I've heard of those stories back in the day. That's pretty gross.
I guess back in the day, I mean, you know, 2010 in a potty or whatever in the shed right in the middle of the Redskins sideline at FedEx Field that you can go into if you want to. But, you know, things happen quick, man. If you're a defensive player and the offense turns the ball over or vice versa, man, you don't really have time. You need to be in the moment. And when you kind of go in the dungeon, man, it's, you know, you kind of lose contact with reality.
So he was sent over to the sideline to go into this injury tent to get looked at for a concussion. Well, when he got over to the sideline, he sat down on the bench and they showed him on TV. He came out for one play. Backup comes in. And after one play, nobody has seen Wilson yet. And we've seen all this on live television, and that's the problem for the Seahawks. He sat down. He's kind of waiting for the training staff to do whatever testing they have to do. They're all kind of walking around him and talking. He just runs right back onto the field, and he's basically sprinting. He looks completely fine.
Yep.
What they got fined for was $100,000 because after going to the sideline, he was not evaluated for a concussion properly. And he didn't go into the protocol. But the confusion, as Pete Carroll said yesterday, was, as a coaching staff, we saw him get sent off to the sideline.
Yes.
We knew he was on the sideline, and we assumed he got checked.
Exactly.
Then he ran back onto the field, and we assumed, okay, that didn't take any time at all. They must not think he has a concussion.
Yes.
He must have been very present, and they looked at his eyes and did whatever test they had to. He was right back on the field. Later in the game, he came back off for a couple more plays as they had to actually administer another test. I think he missed another three plays. But the Seahawks were fined $100,000. And what I want to talk to you about, and we'll do this next, at 800-636-1067, the league's making a couple changes to this system now. As a player, what is the obligation for guys to tell the trainers, hey, I haven't been checked yet, rather than running right back on the field? What is the obligation for a player, and we'll get into this in a moment on Grant and Danny, to actually be invested in helping your team follow the rules rather than just you wanting to get right back on the field? The Seahawks are saying they didn't do anything wrong. Russell Wilson saying he didn't do anything wrong. The training staff is saying, well, we just didn't get a chance to get over there before he ran back onto the field. It's not our fault. So maybe nobody did anything wrong, and yet the Seahawks are getting fined $100,000, and this process didn't work, which is why they want to make changes to it. If you've got some thoughts, 800-636-1067 is the number on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. No Danny today. Grant and Danny, Kendra Golston's in studio.
Well, I'm completely clear. My jaw was a little messed up other than that. But, you know, that's what they decided.
Russell Wilson sent off the field by an official. Doesn't properly get checked for a concussion, reinserts himself into the game after one play, and his team gets fined $100,000. Welcome back. Grant and Danny, 106.7. The Fan, no Danny, Kedrick Golston is in. What is the obligation of the player? What is the obligation of the team? How can we clean this up is the question. From ESPN.com, NBC's broadcast showed Wilson running to the sideline and then sitting down in the area where the tent would be pulled over him. Wilson got back up before medical officials had a chance to join him, then replaced backup Austin Davis, who was in for just one play. Wilson was on the field for two more plays before the Seahawks punted. During the change of possession, Wilson again entered the tent and remained there for a longer period of time. He was on the field when the Seahawks regained possession. The league said the concussion protocol was triggered when Wilson was directed to the sideline for an evaluation by the official Walt Anderson. He concluded that a medical examination was warranted. So he runs over, and now someone screwed up, and the league is deciding it's the Seattle Seahawks because it was their sideline. You heard what Russell Wilson said. The Seahawks in a statement said, "We did not knowingly disregard the concussion protocol. Any misstep was unintentional and the result of confusion on the sideline." But look at what we saw a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you saw the highlight of an injury where the Houston Texans had Tom Savage go to the ground. And he had that, like, what is called the fencing mechanism where he can't control his arms, and he's basically seizuring, it looks like, having a spasm on the ground. And he's right back in the game as if he doesn't have a concussion. They don't check him. We have made progress, but this is still not a seamless, clean process yet, clearly.
Well, it's never going to be, because there's so many other things. There's so many moving parts on the NFL sideline during the game. Everything happens super fast, so it's not as clean as it needs to be. And the NFL and the NFL Players Association have put in, you know, things that are going to help the process. But my thing is, from where he was in the back of the end zone, talking about Tom Savage, there's no way a coach or a trainer could see him in a pile of bodies and things like that. The officials are, you know, trying to figure out what was going on. Was there a flag thrown out? They just see a guy on the ground, which is common. That being said, I don't know what the doctor is that's supposed to be in the box.
Yeah, they have independent people. I've met one of these guys at FedEx Field that watch the game through the lens of a screen like we do at home.
Exactly.
And they should see that and say, get that guy out of there.
Exactly. You know, it's still human beings, so a mistake was made. That being said, I think the Seahawks should have been fined for what happened. Not that there was any fault of their own. You know, and everybody, Russell Wilson needs to make sure to take care of his own self. You know, it's his brain, it's his body. He needs to take care of his own self. But I can see the confusion. He got to the table. He got to the tent. There was nobody there. He wants to get back in the game. He's a competitor, right? I don't know what the doctors or the trainers were talking about, or why they wasn't already over there. So they should have probably got over there faster.
And Pete, we know they're tending to another player who's hurt.
Who's hurt. And Pete Carroll, he's trying to make the second down call. He doesn't know what's going on. He just knows, hey, Russell's back in the game. That being said, you don't have to intentionally do something in order to be fined by the NFL.
So here's my question, though. Kedrick Golston's in studio, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Seahawks fined $100,000 for not properly investigating what could have been a concussion for Russell Wilson. He's made it very clear he didn't think he had a concussion, right? He said that my jaw hurt a little bit. I was completely fine. At what point, though, do we put the obligation on the players? And I'm not saying to fine the players. I'm not saying that at all. But I feel this way looking back, going back in history about Robert Griffin. Like, people still blame Mike Shanahan because he needed to be the adult in the room. And I think to some extent that is true. Protect players from themselves, I've long considered these guys are competitors. But in this specific case, I think the only person who really screwed up was Russell Wilson. You got sent off the field by an official to be examined for a concussion.
Yes.
You knew that when you got sent off the field. You knew when you sat down next to that tent that you had to miss time. He just went right back on the field because nobody was paying attention. He skirted the system. So to fine the Seahawks for that, what are they supposed – is Pete Carroll supposed to run out on the field and grab him and pull him back to the sideline by his ear? I think that the only guy that did wrong here was Russell Wilson. And that isn't to blame him as much as to say this is the culture that's been created. But I just think players are smarter now, and they know what's going on, and they've opted in. And if Russell Wilson doesn't want to take plays off because he feels like he's got to be on the field for his teammates or for whatever reason, I don't think we have to blame the Seahawks anymore. I think Russell Wilson is making that decision as a big boy.
Yes, but as Pete Carroll being the head coach of the organization and the Seahawks having to comply with the concussion protocol, those things have to happen. So to me, I don't think necessarily any one person is at fault, but a fine, they needed to fine the Seahawks because the NFL has to set the standard of, listen, we put these protocols in place for you all to follow them. Yes, things happen. It wasn't as if a doctor was in front of him and he pushed the doctor or the trainer out of the way to get back on the field. He literally sat down for a hot second, said, what's going on here? I'm getting back into the game. Russell Wilson isn't qualified to say whether he does or does not have a concussion, so that doesn't even matter. That's an irrelevant detail of the matter. At the point in which the official sent him off because he had concussion-like symptoms.
If you're Russell Wilson and you say, I don't have a concussion, my jaw's hurt, who cares what you think?
Exactly.
I went to the doctor thinking I had gout and I didn't. Who cares what your problem is and what you think your problem is?
Exactly. So he sat down. There was nobody there. So you know what? Bam. I checked my box. You know what I mean? Hey, I went to class. I didn't take any notes. I checked the box, right? I'm in and I'm out. I'm back on the field. I complied. He technically didn't. But at the end of the day, let's be honest about this. I don't think the Seahawks and the training staff and Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson intentionally did anything bad here. But it kind of falls in line when a guy, you know, falls into a quarterback's knee and he gets fined. He didn't mean to do that. He got pushed into him, right? So he still gets fined. So we're not looking at the intention here, but in the essence of the rule, the league should fine him. And to be quite honest with you, probably a little bit more. $100,000 to the Seattle Seahawks is a drop in the bucket. And I'm talking about a loud drop, meaning change, right? Not a quiet drop.
Yeah, it's not a dollar bill.
It's not a dollar bill. It's change. And it's just to prove the point and for the NFL to say, listen, we care about our players, and y'all didn't follow protocol for whatever reason.
We're talking about it, and it looks like the league does care, and maybe that's why they do it, to be honest with you. But you're right. I don't know what this is going to change. And if you're Seattle, they came out, and they don't seem mad about this or upset about this fine. They basically said, we didn't knowingly do anything wrong. And the league's not saying they knowingly did anything wrong. They're just saying, well, you didn't do anything right either. Go to Larry in the play. To Larry, Grant and Danny with Kedrick Golston hanging out with me today. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, buddy. How are you? Merry Christmas, guys.
You too, pal.
Merry Christmas.
I agree 1,000% with Kendrick. Who are we kidding with a $100,000 fine? The obligation is not on the players. It's on the team. We want to watch football 20 years from now. If the potential fine was $500,000 to $1 million, hey, guess how quickly these teams would get their act in gear and eliminate the dysfunction and put more pressure on the players. The obligation is on the team. The fine has to be way more substantial than what it is. That's a joke. Like Kendrick said, they spend $100,000 for hot dogs in the VIP suite. There's no incentive for the teams to get their act in gear, to eliminate the confusion, to take care of the players. The players are not going to take care of themselves.
So I've got one idea, thanks for the call, Larry, that I want to pitch next to see if you think this would make some sense. I want to tell you what the league's doing, because they've already made one change based on this situation in Seattle. So we'll get to that. I've got a pretty good idea, I think, but I want to see if you can punch a hole in how it would work, the machinations of it next. Also, the Redskins sent out a Q&A, an inquiry, to their season ticket holders this week. One of the questions that they asked their season ticket holders fascinated me. I'm going to tell you what it was. Kedrick Golston for Danny. GND on the Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, welcome back. Holiday season is here. Thanks so much to all of you guys for listening, not just today and throughout the holidays, but all year long. Merry Christmas. Hopefully you're getting set for a big, happy new year. A couple of announcements have been made already on the show today. We should remind you that at 11 o'clock in 25 minutes, Nats reliever Brandon Kinstler, re-signed with the team, will be on the program. So 25 minutes from right now, make sure you're listening, Nats fans, to hear from Brandon Kinstler. Also, we made the announcement right at 10 o'clock. Huge event for the Grant and Danny Show. You can join us and Kirk Cousins. Tickets went on sale this morning. We've got a special exclusive season recap interview January 5th at noon. We're going to have it at Jammin' Java in Vienna. So you can come out. We'll have a live audience of a little over 150 people. We're expecting it to sell out. We're going to discuss the 2017 season. We're going to look ahead to Kirk's future. You can ask whatever questions you've got of him on mic. We will have a Q&A with you guys throughout the 2 hours. Longest form interview with Kirk Cousins in his time in D.C. Tickets are going to start at $40. VIP tickets will go to a little over $100. However, every penny we raise from ticket purchases this holiday season on this event are going to be benefiting the D.C. Dream Center. Not 1 cent from the tickets is going anywhere else. It's a tutoring and mentoring program for the youth and the adults in the city that Kirk cares about. Tickets are on sale now at jamminjava.com. All right, so let's put a bow on this Russell Wilson conversation. Here is my fix, because the NFL wants to make tweaks. Russell Wilson is saying they wouldn't and shouldn't change anything if he was in charge about the concussion protocol. He says, I mean, what should change? I think more than anything, it's just playing ball, and I felt completely clear. There's nothing really to change, really, honestly. The league also mandated that the Seahawks coaching and medical staffs attend remedial training regarding the protocol. So now some of the members of the organization have to go do that. Here is what I would do, and I want to get your reaction as a player, Kedrick. If an official sends a guy off the field, or one of the people watching the screens up in the booth that are paid as independent contractors for the league to say that guy's dazed, get him off the field. If you leave the field, you have to stay off the field for an X number of plays. This prevents running right back on because Russell Wilson, even if I want to say he was most responsible for what happened, is not thinking clearly perhaps. What if he is concussed and he doesn't know it? He just says, I got to be back out there with my teammates. So you've got to wait three plays if you want to make it three, five plays if you want to make it five, but there is no way if you're on the sideline for that long that you're not going to be having enough time to talk with a trainer who can say, go to the tent, we're handling this. The only reason that happened is because he stayed for one play and ran right back on as if he needed to leave because he had blood like an NBA player. Or, you know, in the NFL, if you're down and hurt and they have to stop the game, you got to come off for one play. Yeah. He basically treated it that way. I think that's how he viewed it, as if, oh, my jaw's hurt, I'm going to miss a play and come right back on. What about having a number of plays you've got to miss?
Well, so I say there's two things, right? If the independent consultant that's sitting up in the box watching the TV on his screen that is probably has a neuroscience background.
I don't think he does, by the way. I've met one of the guys who does it. He's not a doctor. He's like just a dude that does that for the league.
Well, I don't know that to be certain, so I'm not going to comment on that. That's a whole nother
can of worms. I'll just say the only guy I've ever met that does that, to my knowledge, does not a doctor. Like he's like does financial advising or something like that.
Like I said, whole nother subject. Okay. So if he sends you off, then to me that's a little more detailed than a referee sending you off, because the referee, the officials have enough things to deal with that they get wrong throughout the course of a game to then all of a sudden become a medical doctor, right? So I don't want to send a player off for three plays just because those three plays could be the three plays that decide whether you win or lose the game. I kind of agree with Russell that the system isn't broken. It just wasn't followed correctly. And to whose fault, I don't know. Why the trainers wasn't over there, I don't know the Seahawks training staff, but I'm sure they have a head athletic trainer, team physician, a couple assistants and things like that. Why somebody wasn't waiting there for Russell when he sat down, I won't understand that. Or maybe they didn't know. Maybe the official should have to go contact the head athletic trainer to let him know why Russell was sent off. Because for all accounts, Russell could have popped up and the ref says, you got to go off, and nobody knows what's going on. So there was a lack of communication from probably the referee to the head coach, or from the head. And Pete's worrying about what's second down, who's in the game, so on and so forth. So I don't like just sending people off, because three plays could happen in the course of, let's say if there's a TV timeout, it could be 5 minutes or it could be 1 minute of real time. So to me, that's not really trying to change something that just wasn't followed appropriately. Now, if it was followed appropriately and there still was an issue, well, then we need to look at the people involved and say, why did he get sent back out on the field? What were the signs? But at the end of the day, we're always going to second guess.
Kedrick Golston in for Danny. Grant and Danny on the Fan. If you're different, I think, because you play D-line and that's a rotation. So like,
yes.
If you play 60% of the snaps, that's a pretty good thing, right? Do you think, as a player, you would be less inclined to come off the field or to even acknowledge that you got dinged if you had to miss three or five plays? If that rule was in place, and let's say you go head-to-head with someone in the trenches and you get up and you're seeing some stars.
Yes.
You might just walk off the field and go get looked at on your own. But are you less likely to say to an official or someone else to get into whatever that 3-5 play protocol is? Because that would also be a little bit of a deterrent to what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, as a young player, right, you just want to play, you want to play, you want to play. You think you're going to be young forever, you're invincible, nothing is going to happen. Obviously, we know more now than ever in the history of the NFL about concussions and head injuries and the things that, you know, are down the road for some NFL players, unfortunately. That being said, just because you get your bell rung doesn't mean you have a concussion. And that's why I think there's a misconception of that. Just because you get hit in the head that you're all of a sudden concussed.
Right.
Or vice versa. That if you don't get hit in the head that you don't have a concussion. So the onus ultimately has to be on the player to, even if he waits to the next series, waits till the series is over, whether he's a D lineman or the quarterback, if there's a punt or a scoring drive, to say, hey, can you check me out? No different than if he pulls his hammy and he comes to the sideline saying, hey, Doc, can you look at me? Because at the end of the day, when football is long gone, you still need your mind more than anything to be in a functional adult in society.
Yeah, I think that's the fear for a lot of guys playing in the NFL now, and for a lot of people who have now kind of become, I think, more aware of concussions, what they mean, saw the movie Concussion, whatever it was that led to that epiphany. I think that's what we all want, is for players long after their career to live healthy, mentally stable life, no matter how many concussions they had. Let's get to a survey that the Redskins sent out I want to hit on. And again, in about 20 minutes, Brandon Kinstler, just re-signed with the Nats, is going to join us. So the Redskins, they do this every year, Kedrick. They send out these surveys to season ticket holders with a bunch of questions about the operation, about the team and how things are going and what fans who are spending a lot of money on season tickets think about the Washington Redskins. One of the questions, though, on this survey this year was really interesting to me. And the reason is there's some scuttlebutt and speculation that maybe Bruce Allen isn't just going to be here until the end of time as the team president. But some of the questions on the survey are things like, how satisfied are you with the direction the team is heading in? Thinking about the direction, what is your thought on the vision, the strategy of the team? What did you make of the team performance in 2017? As compared to last season, how would you rate, and this is on 1 to 10 scale, communication from the team, direction the team's headed, sense that you are valued, customer service. But here's the question that I found so compelling. The Redskins, in the middle of a lost season where they are 6-8 and people are generally in a bad mood about that, asked this question of their season ticket holders via the Washington Post. On the direction of the team and how it is heading, how satisfied are you with your confidence in team executives right now? Who are team executives? Well, that's President Bruce Allen. Doug Williams just got his post last offseason, so he's not on the hot seat in any way. Now, Eric Schaefer is kind of working in anonymity. People don't really know what he does, but he's the mastermind of all the contracts and the negotiations and one of the smartest people in the building. To me, this could actually read, if they wanted it to, thinking about the direction of the team and how it's heading, how satisfied are you with Bruce Allen? That's basically how I read this question.
You're just going to reword it like that. You know, I think, first of all, the Redskins have phenomenal fans. You know, I played there for 11 years. I've been in a ton of different other stadiums. And win, lose, or draw, they're out there. They're showing their support. It's a great environment to play in. But if I'm the Redskins, I'm not sending out a survey about the direction of my front office and my team. I will send out a survey about the fan experience, parking.
Yes.
The concessions, the
things
bathrooms.
Things that concern the fans.
What jerseys you wear? Do we wear the color rush or not? Things like that. How can we improve the fan to player interaction?
Did you like the color rush? What jersey did you purchase this year? Stuff like that.
Exactly.
You don't want to know what they think about the head coach, the team president.
It's not that I don't want to know, but I don't mean this with any disrespect. I don't care, because at the end of the day, as an owner, I put people in place to do their job, and I need to be able to evaluate them. And sometimes, and I know people get tired of Kirk saying this, but is the process going the way that I think it should go?
Right.
And, you know, some fans might be qualified to answer that, but the majority of them probably aren't. And like you said, do this at the beginning of the season when emotions aren't in. They're 6-8.
So who's going to respond right now?
Who's happy about the direction that the team is going, if you just want to be honest? The team isn't even happy with this season right now.
Right. If players are filling out this survey, they're probably going to fill it out differently. I'd like to open up the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines at 800-636-1067. What is your confidence in team executives 1 to 10? How would you answer that on this survey? What is your thought, 1 being you can't stand it, 10 being you love it, on the team's overall vision and strategy? And also 800-636-1067, thinking about the direction, how the team is heading, how satisfied are you, 1 to 10 scale, with the team's performance in 2017, if you're filling out this survey? But I want to respond to what you just said as well, Kedrick, because I agree with you. I would never pose any of these questions to my fan base, and I'll explain why in a moment. Grant and Danny, no Danny today on The Fan. It's a football Friday, 3 days from Christmas, 2 days from a Christmas Eve home game, a date with the Denver Broncos. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. Danny's holiday started early. He's with the family today. Kedrick Golston, kind enough to hang out with me in studio. He'll be with me throughout the show. Just got a tweet from Travis on Twitter. He says, I booked my ticket for the Kirk Cousins season review. Happy to benefit a great charity as well. Looking forward to meeting Kirk and discussing what's next for him. Fingers crossed He stays on a long-term deal. If you are just listening for the first time this morning, joining the show, made the announcement right at 10. Tickets are on sale for a Kirk Cousins year-in-review exclusive two-hour detailed conversation with the starting quarterback on his future with the team. All of the proceeds of this event are going to go to the DC Dream Center, a charity that Kirk chose that he wants to benefit. We will sell tickets starting at about $40. VIP tickets are going to get you a picture and autograph. Those are a little over $100. Every single penny going to charity. If you want to come hang out, talk to, meet Kirk, get a picture, make sure you go to jamandjava.com to purchase your tickets now. As we welcome you back on Grant and Danny, I've been getting texts from some of my buddies and people in my life who are Redskins season ticket holders. I mentioned that the Redskins sent out this inquiry of fans. They do this most seasons where they ask a bunch of questions about the fan experience. Ken, I'm 1,000% with you. Ask fans about the parking lots. Ask them about how easy it is to tailgate. Ask them how long the lines are for concessions and what way I can make your a day better getting to and from the stadium. You should not be asking fans what they think about an executive or a coach, because it gives off the perspective, rightfully or wrongfully, as if they're going to help determine somebody's fate or they are in some way going to influence the outcome. And I hope this doesn't come off as disrespectful, but fans shouldn't. It is not up to a fan to say if Kirk Cousins is playing well or Jay Gruden is a good coach or not. Fans care about results, wins and losses. That's it. If you just won the game, they're thrilled and you're going to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
If you just lost the game, then you stink. And if you're 6-8, you didn't make the playoffs. They don't care about the injuries by and large. They don't care about the toughest schedule. Context matters less. You are adults in the room. You're professionals. Dan Snyder, Bruce Allen. Who cares what is being said in Section 317? They don't know what went wrong on a play. They think Corey Lichtensteiger stinks because he's undersized and he's getting pushed around. They don't know that he's as good getting to the second level as anybody else. I would never ask these questions. And it's weird because I love transparency.
Yep.
And I say all the time, I want the team to have a good relationship with fans. I think things like this are great in general. The question and answer, going back and forth. Bruce Allen should do town halls. But about the experience, ask Tailgate Ted about his section and if there's fights or if people are cursing or drunk.
Because that's really the only thing that you can really change and know that it's going to be changed. You can control the price of parking, the price of concession stands, what jerseys they make, different events, how do you like the draft party, things like that. You can make decisions that directly will change the fans' experience, both positively and negatively. There's so many wild cards when you talk about an NFL season. One being you're dealing with human beings. Somebody could have a career year, somebody couldn't. You have free agency. We lost 2 1,000 receivers, top 15 in the league at their position.
Yeah.
We lost both of them. Terrell Pryor and Josh Dotson looked real promising in the preseason. You know, Chris Thompson was having a phenomenal year. You know, your offensive line was banged up throughout the year. You can't control any of those things, right? So that's not necessarily a poor reflection on Bruce or Jay or anybody else. It's just things that happen. But at the end of the day, if you believe in your coach and the people you hired to put in place, then you have to ride them out.
And why are you asking if you don't care, in other words?
Well,
clearly you do. You want to know, do our fans think we're going in the right direction? Do you think you're going in the right direction?
That's
what matters. Do our fans think our president's doing a good job? Does Dan think that? Does Bruce think he's doing a good job? That's what should matter.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure, and I don't know to be positive, right? Because I know just as much as you know at this point, right? But I'm pretty sure Dan and Bruce did not put that survey in the question. I'm sure that's somebody in the marketing department.
But Bruce signs off on it.
Well, you think he signed off on that?
0% chance that survey gets sent to season ticket holders without Bruce Allen having something to do with it.
Well, I think.
You think?
I think.
Because if I'm Bruce and I see this question that basically reads, how do you think Bruce is doing? I'd be pretty salty about that. If I didn't know that was going to be there.
I just think you set yourself up for unnecessary criticism. Obviously, the season, without a chance to go to the playoffs, it's a lost season. I do believe, regardless of what Vegas said, that this team had aspirations on winning the division, and if not, making it to the playoffs as a wild card. I feel like they had a good enough roster with their quarterback, their offense, the weapons that they had, and a retooled defense to do that. It's been a disappointment for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So like you said, fans are already upset and irritated. So why in the world am I going to put a question out there to just put fuel on the fire that the people in the building have already put on themselves, because trust me, they care about it. They're in there day to day from 5:30 in the morning to 11 o'clock at night. They care more than anybody.
You're literally like going into a room where you already know that everyone, basically you're at an airport and you've just canceled a flight and you're Delta and you're going, so how does everyone feel about Delta? Is everyone happy?
Exactly.
Is everyone enjoying the flying experience today? I wonder what they're going to say. Eric's in Alexandria. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Grant, I agree with everything you said previously about the fans should answer certain questions about parking and all that. I agree with that. But when it comes to the front office, I really think that they get you the players. The coach is supposed to bring the best of those players out. And so I don't think that has a reflection on the front office, because I look at Sean McVay going to the Rams and taking the same team and flipping that team. Then I look at John Harbaugh and how he went to San Francisco. He took the same team and he flipped that team. And Bill Parcells has done the same thing. There's coaches that will take the same team and Bill flip Parcells. Them and get the best out of those players.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Just go to Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Grant and Ked. Hey, Ked, thank you for your service. You're a great Redskin. Hey, I'm going to be contrary. I'm thrilled that the survey went out the way it did. Will you indulge me for a minute? I mean, we need to go through this legacy of the front office. Can you give me a minute?
Yeah, you got a quick minute here because we got to get to a break, but go.
All right. Okay. So let's review Allen, this team's legacy of moves. You start since 2016 in the beginning where Bruce and Dan lowballed Cousins. Okay. Then you go to the Packers game where they avenge the playoff loss, and yet the thing that people remember is, how do you like me now? Because of the mess of the contract situation. Then you get to the December collapse and choke job against the Giants last year. Then you fire Joe Barry, who you shouldn't have hired in the first place, because you should have hired Wade Phillips, and we know how Jay handled that interview per Wade's side of the story. Then come the talent departures, Sean McVay, the 2000 yard wideouts you've talked about, and the replacements, Kavanaugh, Pryor, and Dotson. Sorry, not getting it done. Then there's the McLuhan debacle. He's muzzled in Mobile. We know the rest of the story, except we don't, because there was a grievance held earlier this week, and we still don't know. It's as draining as the Cousins contract situation. But then you also have last summer, you've got the surprise birthday party contract extension for a mediocre head coach in Gruden. Then you've got the show pony hire of Doug Williams to spackle over the McLuhan mess.
It's a great call. I think everything you're saying is correct. Here is kind of my general point. If you are making the case for Bruce Allen having done a good job here, you'd say maybe that he's helped Dan Snyder as a babysitter of sorts, as an intermediary between Dan and the operation. I think that's one area where a lot of people tell me he's done some good. I think there is a better respect for the draft process and not spending huge in free agency, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But in terms of the moves, the most important things, head coach, the Shanahan thing ended up as a disaster. I seem to think Jay's pretty good, but as of right now, you're incomplete there. The quarterback is the next most important position. He's bungled and botched that every way from Sunday. The general managing position is next most important. He elevated himself to president. He hired McLuhan. That was an utter fiasco and the most embarrassing storyline of the offseason. That's the three most important positions as a team president that you need to get right, and he's 0-for-2 with an incomplete in the other one. Not ideal if you're Bruce Allen.
I think in fairness to Bruce, right, things, you know, the whole Shanahan thing, right, there was a bunch of moving parts. You had Robert. You had Mike. You had
But he was a injury. Part of that problem,
It was a bunch of people a part of. But at the end of the day, you know, he's kind of the only one that's left around to take that beating now.
True.
You know what I mean? Because back then, Mike was taking that beating. And then we've come to move forward, and Robert's kind of – everybody's kind of figuring out Robert's hand and all that mess too. So – where I can understand his points and things like that. And the fact of the matter is the Kirk Cousins contract negotiation, we've talked about it a ton. We're going to find out sooner or later what's really going to happen. But at the end of the day, I would have liked it for them to get a deal done. But they have a plan in process too. And so at the end of the day, you know, if they don't re-sign him, then they better have a good plan,
it's
a backup plan.
We should talk more about this in a minute. We got to get to a break. And Brandon Kinsler of the Nationals is going to join us in a moment, who re-signed with the team. So we'll get to him next. Grant and Danny, I want to talk more about this plan because I don't know what it is, if they've got one, as far as the quarterback position. You're listening to The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.